just love you girls, and it's been so good this past, like, we've gone through Isaiah 58, and did you enjoy it? Did you enjoy Isaiah 58? It's been a good time in the Word. Sorry, I'm just going to lock my screen so I don't get any text messages from my husband because he will interrupt me while I'm preaching, okay? All right, and then we're starting a new way of doing things now. We're going to start talking about women in the Bible. So just really cool stuff. And it was funny because, you know, Esther is my favorite person. So let me just tell the teachers now, you're not allowed to touch Esther. Okay? Pick any other woman, but not Esther. Because I was so ready for a message with Esther. And then I was talking to my mom. She was asking me what I was doing. And she started telling me, it's like Easter. You should talk about Mary and Martha. And I'm like, yeah, you're right. As I began just studying the life of Mary of Bethany and Martha, her sister, I was just, I'm not kidding, I was literally sitting on my bed, because that's where I have to study, or the closet. That's the only place I can get alone. And I was sitting there bawling my eyes out. You know, like just bawling. And my dog is like looking at, like petting my leg, like, are you okay? But it was because I was having this intense moment of just gratitude and gratefulness for the women that have gone before us, that knew things before the men knew things. And you know, girls, we know that when we are having a baby, we know before anybody else, right? You feel that baby move before the husband ever feels that baby move. You hear that baby's cry in the middle of the night before the baby, you know, even starts crying. I mean, I know that my children have can breathe a certain way, and they're across the house, and I'm like, what's wrong, you know? I mean, last night, I just jumped out of bed, and Dan was like, what's wrong? And I'm like, well, Titus has been coughing, you know, and he's just like, oh. You know, because they just don't know. And I believe, you know, we call it women's intuition. I believe the Holy Spirit gives that to us so that we can keep a home, so we can nurture a home, so that we know what our family needs, so that we are the first ones on the scene when something's going on. And so the women in the Bible have so much to teach us, so much. And so we're going to get into it. Are you guys ready? It is Palm Sunday coming up this weekend, and I'm not kidding. I adore Christmas. It's my favorite, but Easter has to be my second favorite. Well, Christmas, Easter, I don't know. Now I'm starting to go, man, I love them both so much, because just talking about Jesus and what he did for you and you and you and you and you and me, it's at a point when you sit there and you go, wow, I don't know anybody else who would give up so much for me. I don't know anybody else who would do that for me. I don't know anyone, but he will, and he did. And so let's get into it. Palm Sunday is coming up. This is a beautiful time of the year for you and your families to set aside time to really talk about these things. I want to encourage you, grandmas and moms, talk to your families about what is happening right now. The world wants to call this spring break. It used to be, when I was a kid, Easter break. The world actually recognized it as Easter. And you are the church of God. We cannot let the story of Jesus Christ die in our society. You are his mouthpiece. You are the ones that are raising up the next generations. And so, you know what? Get those eggs that Pastor Sue, in fact, I'm a day late. I got to start them today. And it's like eggs, and you open one up, and then you talk about what each symbol means, and then it leads to the story of Jesus on the cross and the resurrection. It's a beautiful thing to do with your kids. You know, pull out and talk about, hey, guys, this is Palm Sunday weekend. Do you guys know what that means? And, you know, just be the one that speaks into your children and your grandchildren's life. Because you are the pulse of the family. And so do not disregard what you say, that because it goes into their hearts and it builds something and a foundation in them that cannot be lost. The world won't be able to drown that out. And so mama and grandma, you do your job, okay? I love this story in the Bible of Mary and of Martha. These are women that got to be with Jesus. They knew him. I actually was reading a lot of commentaries on this. They were actually friends with him. I mean, that's pretty cool. I mean, like, I sat there and I thought, what would it be like to just have Jesus come hang out in my house? I'm making you dinner. You're hanging out. I mean, that would just be, like, amazing, right? We would be all starstruck, like, you know? Everybody would be parties. They were just hanging out. He trusted them. He loved them. And there were three accounts that Mary got to connect with Jesus that have been documented. Mary was a woman, and she had three documented encounters. First, when Jesus came to dinner, and Martha was working. Do you guys remember this story? Martha was working, and Mary was at his feet. That whole story is a whole story in itself, and I could have gone there, but I really wanted to touch on when she anoints him. But, you know, Martha says, can you tell her, you know, Jesus to come help me? And he's like, no. You know, she's doing what's right. And we as women can get distracted. I am like Mrs. I will work the hardest. I will make sure the dinner's out. I will make sure it's clean. I will make sure you got fed. I will make sure. And so I relate more with Martha. I get upset with the Marys. Like, seriously, can you help? You know, like. And so I think this story is a great story because it really shows the different sides of womanhood and the different personalities and how we do have to live together and love each other through our different personalities, and I just love that. The second encounter that Jesus had was when he went to raise Martha and Mary's brother, Lazarus, from the dead. Pretty amazing. The coolest thing about this story was that he heard that he was dead, and he's waited more days. He just waited. And they're like, hurry up. Can I get some water? And Jesus is like, oh, we'll show up. You know, he shows up, and he says, no, this wasn't done. If I was here, Martha's talking to him. She says, Lord, you know, if you were here, you wouldn't have died. He said, no, this is for the glory of God. Because he knew that he was going to say, Lazarus, rise up. He said, Lazarus, rise up. That man rose from the dead. This man was in a tomb. He had already stunk. He was already done. He was like gone. So that had to be an extreme miracle. So here they are. They've been in the house. Jesus has now seen them fight. That's an intimate moment. You know you're a good friend with someone when you can fight with someone in front of them. You know, when Dan and I have a friend, and we go to her house on Friday nights. And sometimes they're fighting when they come to our house, and sometimes we're fighting. And we always say, well, you know what? We're just such good friends. We can fight in front of you. And it's a safe place. It's a place that you know that you don't have to, you know, explain every aspect of your personality. Jesus was there for Martha and Mary's little battle there. Then he raises their brother from the dead. Now, I don't know about you, but that's extremely a grateful moment for me. If that was me, I would just be like, all out, whatever you need, Jesus, what could I even possibly do for you? Because they saw a miracle. And the third account was when Mary and Jesus, he had come to her house 6 days before his burial. He had been trying to tell the disciples, I'm going, I'm leaving. And do you know what they were doing? They were fighting amongst themselves who is going to be the greater one. But yet he goes to the house of Mary and Martha, and Mary just starts doing her thing. She starts pulling out the best bottle of perfume, the anointing oil. I mean, she just poured it out, and she poured it on top of him. It ran over his head and down to his feet. She took her hair and she wiped it. She could have had a servant do that. Think about this. She could have had a servant do that. But she said, oh, no. I'm going to be the one to be honored enough to do this for my king. You see, Mary was in tune with what was going on. Women, we are the women in the house, and we are in tune with what is happening in the spirit. We are in tune with what is happening with our families. You are in tune. Maybe you start watching things and you go, I don't know. And let me just tell you something. When you start noticing something that isn't right, that is not your first sign to get on the phone and gossip about it. That is the Holy Spirit revealing things to you so you can get on your knees and pray about it. And here's this woman. She's on her knees wiping his feet with oil, and she's saying, I honor you. I love you. I want to be a part of what's happening. And they are mocking her for this. Let's look at it in John. Okay, there's many accounts. If you go through the Bible, I love how the men tell the story. They all tell it differently. So Matthew, Mark, and John are all accounts. And so if you look through them, they will say it differently, but it's the same story. I really had to study that one out. I was like, is this two accounts? And I'm looking through every book. And you know what? It is the same story, just in a different perspective, which is very interesting. You know, one person can say it one way, another person says another way, but same thing. Have you ever learned that about people? So this is happening. But we're going to use John's account today. John 12, 1 through 8. Then, 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, That's the city where they live. Where Lazarus, who had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. There he made him supper, and Martha served, but Lazarus was one of those who sat at the table with them. Now, let's stop for a second. Did you notice Martha was still serving? See, go Martha. I mean, yeah, even though he said, yeah, she should be at my feet, somebody has to serve the meal, okay? And he's not mad at her for that. So, you know, sometimes Martha gets a bad rap, but you go, girl, okay? If she's still serving Jesus. That's her spot, all right? Let's just put it that way. Martha is in her spot. There they made him suffer, and Martha served, but Lazarus was one of those who sat at the table with him. Then Mary took a pound of costly oil of spikenard. Spikenard is oil and perfume. Anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with fragrance of oil. But one of disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, who would betray him, said, "Why was this fragrant oil not sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor?" Then he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and he had the money box, and he used to take what was put in it. But Jesus said, "Let her alone. She has kept this day for my burial. For the poor you will always have with you, but me you do not always have." I wanted to really capture maybe what it is that Mary was experiencing. And so I found this video. It may not be. It's a more modern day rendition of maybe what she was thinking. So could you please direct your attention to the overhead screens? Hi. Do you have it, Missy? They don't have my video. Okay, tell Monica to get my video. I'll show it at the end then. Thank you. All right. Well, then we're going to move on, all right? Well, I can show it at the end. It'll still be impacting. Okay. So she is in with Jesus. She's now anointed his feet. In different accounts, you can see that first it says that she anointed his head. Then it says she anointed his feet. And I was going, well, which one is it? Did she do different? And Dan and me were reading commentaries. You know, after he preaches, he comes home and I'm like, all right, let's get into my message now. Come on. So we had like books and everything laid out on the bed last night. And he's like, no. Think about this. If you pour oil on something, it runs down from your head all the way down to your feet. And I was like, so one man saw it as he anointed the head because he's accounting the first time it happened. And then the other, John, is saying, and she wiped his feet. So now we get the full picture when every man is telling the story of this incredible moment that she knew that he was going to be buried. So what can we learn from Mary's story? Number one, to give a sacrificial love. You see, Mary gave this costly perfume. This perfume was a humongous deal back then. It was very expensive. It was not something that was not valued. Now we could just go to the store and you can pick whatever perfume you want. You can pick whatever price range of the perfume you want. There's just too many options. I mean, now we have like 50 types of oil. We have coconut oil. This was not the case back then. Back then, this was a big deal. This was a precious part and commodity to somebody's life. And so when she brought it to Jesus, it was such a sacrificial gift for her. And it was used in embalming a body when they were going to die. So she knew what she was doing. She wasn't just anointing his head because, oh, it just smells good and it's nice. No, she knew she was preparing him for burial. Now, Jesus said it, but she knew it. And you know why she knew it? Because she loved him. Because she knew him. Now remember, I told you that they were friends, right? I told you that they spent time together and that they were comfortable in each other's presence. You don't just have a connection with the Most High God and not know what's happening in his life. He was talking and she was listening. There are many times that we do not give sacrificially to God because we are not listening to what he's asking us to give. Just this morning, I'm blow drying my hair and it's getting close to the time I have to leave and take the kids to school. And I say to my husband, "Did you make the kids lunches? Because I did it." And he goes, "Seriously? I just asked you and you answered me yes." And I'm like, "You did?" I was not listening to him. I did not take time out of my day to go sacrifice to make the kids lunches today. Okay, it's my one day off. I'm sorry, I have to preach. So I'm totally playing that up, by the way. You know, like, I'm sorry, Dan, I have to preach, you know. So he ran downstairs, and I thought, you know, here I am not listening. All these disciples are fighting amongst themselves, going, who's greater than me? And, oh, who's going to be the greatest, you know, when he leaves? Who's jockeying for position? And here's little Mary. He's going. And I want to be a part of that. I want to be a part of something greater than myself. I want to give something that's precious to me. And maybe nobody else thinks it's precious. And maybe nobody else sees the value in it. But for me, it's connected to my heart. For me, it's something I can give Jesus. And it's sacrificial. And here she was, this wonderful woman who gave such a sacrifice of herself. And she put herself in a servant's position, wiping her hair. She could have pulled a rag out. But no, she took her hair. We all know that we don't like our hair oily. It's just too hard to get the oil out. But she didn't care. She wiped her hair with that oil. And she blessed him. And she touched God's heart. Let's stop for a second and think about that. Have I touched God's heart lately? Have you touched God's heart lately? Have we really done something where he says, oh, so good. Thank you, daughter. Thank you. You see, she got the attention of God. She got to his heartstrings. And she gave a sacrificial love. And he is a beautiful picture of the contrast of this. Here she was giving everything that she had for him when just 6 days later he was going to give everything he had for her. And you see, Jesus knows your heart. He knows where you've been. He knows what you've done. And it doesn't matter to him. It doesn't matter. He said, I'm going to that cross. I'm going to give them away to the throne of God. I am going to break that bondage between hell and heaven. I am going to give them some way, a way back to God. And I am going to pay a price, a sacrificial love, a love that no one else can do but me. And here's this little woman going, please just let me be a part. Let me give something. Let me prepare you for a burial. Nobody wants to think about death. Nobody wants to think about a burial. These disciples were probably like, no, we don't want to hear this. We love you too much. We don't want you to go. I mean, have you ever just been in that moment when my Nana was dying? It was like, I know you need to go, but I don't want you to go. But I know you need to go. You see, when death is at the scene, it's not an easy thing. And we as humans, we just kind of go, well, there's got to be another way. There's got to be. And we try and like fix it. And Mary's going, oh no, this is a sacrificial love that can't be changed. I'm going to be a part of this. Instead of, no, I'm just going to not listen and I'm going to do my own thing. She was in the middle of it. She was in tune with what God was doing. Mary had something so precious and so costly to give to Jesus. Romans 5:8 says, but God demonstrates his own love toward us. In that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. When I was still out there sleeping around, when Pastor Jess was out there, you know, being the designated driver, because I didn't do so well with drinking, but I was in the wrong scene at the wrong time a lot of times. God was there going, I love her, and I died for her, and she's going to be redeemed from this because my mom and dad were on their knees praying. Listen. He demonstrates his own love towards us in that we were still sinners. He did it not when we were already redeemed. We needed him to be redeemed when Christ died for us. She brought something that cost her a lot. She could have had a servant do it, but she didn't. We could learn this lesson from her to bring a sacrificial love to God. What is it that pleases God's heart? What is it that we can ask God, and I want to challenge you to go home and really get in some prayer time and say, God, what is it that I could just give you that would just please your heart? That would be a sacrificial love. You know, some of these people in the Bible, you read their stories and you're going, oh my gosh, Abraham and Isaac, I mean, you sit there and you put them on the altar. I mean, good Lord, really? You know, really? These are sacrificial loves. These are deep, serious moments that God is asking and requiring. God is asking something of us women. But we have to tap in and find out, what is it that you need from us? It might be that he needs you to get outside of your box or your bubble to go tell someone about him. It might be that he needs you to begin to pray like you have never prayed before. It may mean that maybe there is something inside of you. Maybe it's a book, or it's a story, or it's something God has placed and given you, and you've not written it out, and you've not done it. Maybe it's a business that God has put inside of your heart, because your business is going to preach the gospel. It is going to be a blessing to those who walk. You do not know that what it is that he's asked of you, and you've walked away from. He's asking you to bring your sacrificial love as Mary did. Bring it to his feet. Lay it at his feet. Trust him with it. Vance Havner said, "Life is like a grain of wheat. To plant it is to recognize its value. To keep it is to destroy its value. The planted Christian counts life dear unto himself, but unto God." Not unto himself, but unto God. You see, my life is not for me. My life is not for my gain or my personal experiences or what can I get out of it or what can... No, my life is here because he gave his life for me. And now this life belongs to him. That is a sacrificial love. It's no longer my wants and my desires and my needs and my, you know, desires and hungers and thirsts and all those things. No, no, no. Now it's, what do you want, God? What's your will, God? Where do you need me, God? What is it you want for us, God? You see, you have to switch your thinking here. We have to switch our thinking, girls. We're no longer ourselves. We are no longer us. We are his daughter, who is a royal priesthood, a holy nation. I know it looks like I'm wearing jammies, but this is a shirt. Now I don't have to like get undressed tonight. I can just wear this to bed. But we are royal in the house of God. We are royal to him. And you see, when I know my Father and my Father knows me, when I give in love, it really doesn't even feel like a sacrifice. Because you know what happens? You want to do it because you love him so much. And you want to find ways that you can please him. You know, when you're in this relationship and you first, you know, start dating, I'll never forget, like, man, I got romanced in that relationship. I don't really know what happened after that. But my husband would, in the middle of the night, leave me roses and notes at my door. And my sister Kim would wake up earlier than me in the morning, and she would, "Oh, Jess, your man left you something at the door." And she'd go to work, and I'd be like, "What, really?" And I mean, he had to drive all the way from Moreno Valley to bring that to my doorstep. You know, and he does new things in new ways now. But, and I remember one time I came home from a long day at work, and me and Robin were there, and he's sitting on my stairs, and I had apartments and the stairs went up, and he wrote me a song, and he played it on his guitar. I literally laughed the whole time because I was so nervous and uncomfortable with the whole thing, like, I never had a good guy. I always had losers, so I didn't know what to do. I was like, awkward, awkward. And here's Robin bawling her eyes out. I'm like, are you two dating? I mean, what the heck? She's crying over your song. And so, I mean, he was just Mr. Romantic. And it was because we love each other. Now, Dan does not go to the store without buying me flowers. In fact, one time he came home without them, and I was like, where's my flowers? I'm almost like, come on, dude, you've like made it, like, you know how we do things here. And so, you know, you do things for people. When you're out, you think about the one you love and you want to do things for them. It's the same thing here. That probably wasn't so sacrificial to her because she just loved him so much. She said, "God, it's the least I can do. You raised my brother from the dead. You know, I mean, you were our friend. You're going to give your life for my sins. This is amazing." You see, sacrificial love is extreme, and Jesus showed us how to do it, and he's asking us in return for it. Is my video ready? Yes. Okay, why don't we show the video and then we'll get into point two.
My sister Martha asked me, "Now Mary, what exactly was the purpose of that little scene you caused right there in the middle of dinner?" And all I could say was, it was just something I could do. Maybe I'm getting ahead of myself. Let me back up. Meeting Jesus. I guess I just never thought he might be so personable, one who would come to our home and have dinner with our family, laugh at our jokes, tell a few of his own. Sitting with him made everything else seem less important. So that night, right before Passover, we wanted to honor him for everything he'd done in our family. Looking back on that night, we knew, knowing that the whole world was against him, there could have been so much more. We could have let him know that we were unified, that we were all for him. And that was a missed opportunity. Where was I? So that night, we had him over for dinner to honor him. But how exactly do you thank someone for bringing your brother back to life? Well, our sister Martha was in the kitchen preparing this perfect meal for him. And then there was me. What could I do? I decided to give up one of my most precious possessions. Precious things given to Jesus never really seem wasted. And I knew as soon as I did it, it was obvious. Some people weren't pleased with my choice. It wasn't planned. It was spur of the moment. It leapt from my heart. I let down my hair in public, which you just don't do. And I wiped his feet with it. And then I poured out an expensive perfume jar of oil to honor him. And the beautiful scent filled the whole room. Now, if I would have stayed paralyzed in fear over what my sister would think after she made this huge meal, or the anger of the onlookers, or what a disciple could say, I might never have worshiped him that way. And the beautiful scent, oh, it stayed for days and days. Sitting at his feet, none of their opinions really mattered. Jesus was pleased with me. And he stood up in my defense. So why did I do it? I guess it was all I had. And days later, Jesus would pour out everything he had for us. For me.
Isn't that a beautiful rendition of possibly what could be going through her mind? She talked about the opposition and how she just had to continue doing what it was that she knew she needed to do. In John 12, 4 through 5, let's read it together. "But one of the disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, who would betray him, said, 'Why was this fragment of oil not sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor?' Not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and he had the money box and he would take from it what was put in it." You see, Jesus came to Martha and Mary's house at a time when it was chaotic outside of their home. They were wanting to kill him. They were coming after him. They were going to crucify him. It was very intense in that city. And when he went into Martha and Mary's home, it was a place of serenity for him. It was a place of comfort. It was a place of safety. So there's all this opposition going on outside of the home. And then here's this woman giving a piece of herself. And she has a naysayer saying, what is this? Trying to put her down. You see, Mary has taught me that opposition is not a factor when I am giving my sacrificial love. Opposition will come. People will naysay you. Well, why do you go to church so much? Why do you serve this God? Why do you keep praying when you don't get your prayers answered? Why do you do this? Oh, you Christians. Oh, you. I've heard it all. And let me just say this. That will always be there. I love how Jesus says that you know that you're doing the right thing when you're persecuted for his name's sake. It's a good place to be in, girls. It may not be a comfortable place. Opposition is never comfortable. It's always a way that we're kind of like, oh, I'm just not settled. I'm not settled. But listen, you may not be settled, but when you're at his feet and you're in the presence of Jesus, that is when opposition does not matter any longer. And the presence of God settles your heart. He takes away the fear. He takes away the anxiety. He takes away all the things that will come to oppose you. You begin to speak life. The devil's going to bring in opposition and bring in death. God says, choose life. You see, Mary was in a position where it was not popular for her to do this. You may be in a position where you are not popular in your family, in your neighborhoods, in your schools, in wherever it is, your workplace. But you stay at the feet of Jesus. You stay in the presence of God. And when opposition comes, you will be able to not even give it place. It will not shake you. It will not move you. You will be able to continue on the path and the task that God has asked you to do. And that has been required of you as a daughter of God. You see, she spent time at the feet of Jesus. She was so confident, and she knew her Lord so well that she did not even bother with the adversity that was coming her way. She could have looked back at Judas, and some of us would have been like, you know what, forget you, you need to leave. You know, we would have been all about it. We would have given him two cents about what he just said about us, and we would have called, I know I would have called him out, you're a thief, you need to go. She didn't even let him face her. She just continued to do what she needed to do. And do you know why she did that? Because opposition was already surrounding them. There was such a rumbling going on in their city. There was such chaos. She had to know God because she was in a position where it was not safe for her to have him. They were after him. She went to his defense by bringing him into her home. She brought him into her home, and she gave him the best of the best that she could when opposition was coming against her. You see, opposition will come. People will talk. Things will be said. Circumstances will change, and you will wonder, what are you doing, God? What is this? Being a little bit uncomfortable isn't a bad thing, girls. Sometimes when we're in a valley and opposition is hitting, that is the best place for you to be because that is the closest place you'll be to your Savior. When we are in need and when there is a time when we are in opposition, listen to me, you cry out to God and he will hear you. You seek his face and he will be with you. You will have strength more than you will ever be able to do on your own. In opposition, it is not a time to fear, and do not let it become a factor in your course and your destiny that God has asked you to walk in. In Matthew's account of this story, I love what he said. I love at the end of that verse how Jesus defended her, and this is how Jesus said it in Matthew 26:13. Assuredly, I say to you, wherever the gospel is preached in the whole world, what this woman has done will also be told as a memorial to her. Think about that for a second. Can you think about someone else that God said, this story is going to be told as a memorial to her? I want God to say, hey, well done, daughter. Well done. And when I get to heaven, I want to talk to Mary. And I want to just meet her and shake her hand. Because she's taught me so much learning this story, living this with her, walking in this moment with her. What would you have done if it was you and Jesus that day? What would you have done? Yet she said, opposition's here. I'm not going to let it move me. I'm not going to defend myself against Judas. No, Jesus defended her, didn't he? You see, opposition came. She knew her Savior, and he defended her. He is your defender. That is a lesson you need to learn. You are not the one that is going to need to defend yourself. He will go before you. He will set a path. He will lay a foundation for you. He will go before your enemies. He will defeat your foes. And he will be the one that comes to your defense as he did with Mary of Bethany. Number three. You and I can learn from Mary that we can change our atmosphere. She had talked about the oil, and I have this perfume, and I hope it doesn't stink for some of you. And I know my mother-in-law's allergic, so I won't spray it over there. But there's a smell. When you spray something, it begins to permeate the room. And it begins, have you ever hugged someone? I have a brother-in-law, and I'm not kidding. I think he takes a bath in his, in his cologne. Because when I hug my brother-in-law, all of a sudden, it is like, woof, Henny. Is Henny he just has a smell about him. And it's a good smell. But can you smell that? It begins to change an atmosphere. It begins to change the mood. And I believe that you are the one in your home, and you are the one in your family, you are the one in your marriage, you are the one with your children to begin to change the atmospheres of negativity. You are the one to begin to change the atmospheres of faith versus no faith. You are the one, girls, that is going to change an atmosphere. When Christmas comes, what do? We decorate the house. We make it gorgeous. We bring in that tree, that pine tree, and it's going to smell up our house, and it's going to smell like Christmas, right? Or we get those candles that smell like cinnamon and all those wonderful smells, right? Because what are we doing? We're creating an atmosphere for our family, right? And when a realtor is selling a house, they normally cook some cookies, and when you walk in, you're like, ooh, this is like the best house I've ever been in, and it smells good, and it starts to make you feel at home. You see, Mary changed the atmosphere of fear on the outside. Jesus came in from chaos into peace. He walked into this house, and there was an aroma because Martha's gift was a meal. And I know when my mom is cooking, I'm walking like, mom is cooking, let's go to her house. Now, I know my dad says she cannot cook, but I like her food. And so I like your food, mom. I love burnt food. So I'm just kidding. It's not burnt. And you can just smell when you walk into a house, right? And it begins to just permeate your nostrils. And all of a sudden, whatever's going on in your life, do you notice it just doesn't seem as big of a deal? All of a sudden, your senses kind of are heightened, and you're like, ooh, what are we having for dinner? You know, you're mad at your husband, you're like, whatever. Hey, what are we eating for dinner? You know, or whatever the case may be. Here's Jesus coming in from the outside. It's a chaotic moment for him. He walks into this house. There's a meal being laid. There's peace going on. There's love in the home. There's a heart of gratitude. I mean, think about Lazarus sitting there with Jesus at the table. I would probably just be, crying the whole time. I mean, he already raised him from the dead, and now he's going to go die for him, too. And come on. You know, I mean, what? I mean, there's just nothing to explain probably what was happening in that house. So then she takes this beautiful oil out, and she pours it over his head, and it goes all the way down to his feet. And I loved how she said in that story, it lasted for days and days and days. My mom and I were talking yesterday, and she said, think about Jesus on that cross. They don't take showers like they do nowadays. He probably was on that cross and smelt the scent of that oil, and it was a comfort to his heart. That is not biblical. We're just saying, what if? But what if her little gift was a comfort to him as he laid there to give his life for us? What a moment. What a moment of moving past opposition for something greater than herself. You see, she changed an atmosphere that day. She served a king that day. She waited on a savior that day. And she was able to bring him love. She was able to bring him comfort. She was able to bring him what we as women, girls, are made to bring. She brought herself. And by bringing herself and her heart and her love, she changed the atmosphere. Sometimes you're just the only thing that needs to walk into the room. Sometimes it's just you. Sometimes you feel like I'm not enough, or just I didn't bring anything. And maybe it's just, oh, they're here. And somebody just, their heart leaps because they see you. I know when my kids come home after a long day and I miss them, I'm like, hi. Or when my mom walks through these doors over here, I'm like, hi. Or when my dad's sitting there, it melts my heart. They can walk into the room and it changes everything. Maybe you are the light of the world. You are the salt. You are the one that is going to bring Jesus to your world. Just as Mary was at that time for her moment to be with Jesus, you are the woman that is going to change the atmosphere of your world. And you, wonderful, amazing women of God, are more than enough. You are more than enough. You are the world changer. You are the sweet aroma. You are the sweet aroma. Philippians 4:18 says, indeed, I have all and abound. I am full, having received from Epaphras the thing sent to you, a sweet aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God. Ephesians 5:1-12 says, therefore be imitators of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice of God, a sweet smelling aroma. A sweet smelling aroma. When you carry yourselves this week and throughout this season, as we begin this journey of walking through what Jesus did for us at this church, take what you get today and create a beautiful atmosphere in your homes. Go home. You may not have a lot, but you know what? Sit down with your family and say, we're going to just talk about Palm Sunday this week. And then next week, we're going to talk about the resurrection and the death and burial of Jesus. Do it, guys. Bring them to church. Your children are going to see things and hear things in our children's ministry that are going to excite their hearts after the things of Jesus. Your teenagers are going to get a word that will be equipped for them. You have to help them put Jesus in their hearts because you are the pulse and the heartbeat of the home. Have you heard the saying, if mama ain't happy, ain't nobody happy? That's true because ain't mama happy either. Ain't nobody happy. I've been there. I've been that not happy mama. And I could just see my family slowly clearing the room. You know, Dan and the kids somehow end upstairs. And I'm like, what in the world? Am I that bad to be around? Well, yeah, apparently you are. I don't want to be that woman. I want to be a woman that changes the atmosphere for good. That changes the atmosphere and brings in an excitement and brings in a joy of the Lord and brings in just the peace of God and the good news of Jesus. And that is what Mary did that day. And those are the lessons that we have learned from Mary. Let's review. Mary gave a sacrificial love. What is it in your prayer time that you're going to go and you're going to bring to God? She did not let opposition become a factor in her life. She continued on in her task, and she changed an atmosphere for the kingdom of God. Girls, you are atmosphere changers. You are world changers. You are little Jesus walking around, touching lives, changing worlds. And you know what? Don't discredit who you are in the kingdom, whether you're young or you're old. If you're young and you say, I have no kids, I don't know what I'm doing, listen, you are in the best place in the world because you have no one tying you down and no responsibility. You get into the house and you serve. You go on mission trips. You go and find out what it is God can do for you and through your hands and through your feet. And then let's say you're a mom and you say, oh, I'm just tired. I'm up all the time. I'm just constantly doing laundry. I'm constantly doing dishes. There's never a moment of downtime. Listen, your downtime is while you're doing your laundry. Your downtime is while you're doing your dishes. And you say, thank you, Lord, that you are going to meet the needs of my family. And you begin praying those things when they're not easy to pray. You're never too busy to talk to God and change the atmosphere. Get up in the morning and turn on praise and worship music. This morning I got up and I just turned on Pandora, and I started putting on, you know, praise and worship, and I picked up a worship station. And my kids, they were just like a different set of kids today. They were just a different set of kids today. They were like so easygoing. There just wasn't like drama. It was just crazy. Dan comes downstairs. He's like, what's all this noise? I'm like, it's not noise. It's praise and worship. It's time for you to get up. And our house had an atmosphere of worship when they first got up. Listen, these are just little things that I do. What is it you do? Share with each other what maybe some things that you do to make things special for your family. This is our time, girls, to get Jesus into the hearts of our home and change the atmosphere. I love you. Did you get something from God today? Yeah.